which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization, but due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization, because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on a great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification, and if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Shuta Goswami, or his bona fide representative, as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. A little water. Omagyan Tamarandasya Ginangana Shilakaya Chaksurimiritam Jainatasmai Sigurvena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavi. So today we are accepting a number of devotees as aspiring candidates, as disciples in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. This initiation ceremony has been compared to second birth, born again. Our first birth is from our mother and father, with all due respect, is a birth into ignorance. Why ignorance? Because to take birth in this world, we have to leave the spiritual world. We have to leave Krishna, and we come to this world, which is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. Sometimes Prabhupada would describe the spiritual world. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. He would say the spiritual world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. That should be enough to convince us. But this world is just the opposite. It's a perverted reflection. It's not just a reflection, it's a perverted reflection. It's temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. And logic says that you should only give up something if you get something better. That's actually, there's a shloka like that in the Niti Shastra by Chanaka Pandit. You should only give up something if you get something better. But we did the opposite. We gave up the best to get the worst. Of course, you don't always perceive that here in Florida. This is where people come to retire, and it gets hot and humid. And I heard it was a cold winter, but Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punar Arvito Arjuna, Mamopeta Tikuntaya, Punar Janma Nividyate. It's a senior moment, you forget the verse. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. And that includes Alachua. Therefore, the material world is described in the Vedic scriptures as Durgadham. Durgadham means a prison house. It may look nice, it's a beautiful spring day out here, but if we see through our intelligence, we're meant to see things through our intelligence as human beings. There's four very high walls here in the material world. Prison is characterized by having walls, maximum security, big tall walls, barbed wire and machine guns. So what are the walls? I don't see walls, but no. With our intelligence, we can perceive. There's birth, there's disease, there's old age, there's death. And no amount of science or technology is ever going to change the fact. People put so much hope in science and technology, but science and technology, they make life a little comfortable. We have the fans. Maybe one day you'll have AC. But they'll never change the fact that birth is a miserable thing. Difficult for mama and difficult for baby. No woman looks forward to the moment of birth. I've heard that it's a very difficult experience. Once I had kidney stones, and there was only a lady doctor I had to go to, and she said, these kidney stones are equal to the pain of giving birth. Oh, really? It must be really terrible to give birth, because this is really painful. She had to give me morphine, three big injections. She said, that's enough to put a horse out. So the child is in the womb, the child comes out, and the doctor takes his two little feet, and to get him breathing, on the backside. Welcome to the material world. They have a saying that first impressions are the most important. And we go out as we come in. And sandwiched in between it all is disease and old age. So we've heard these things before. And no one can escape the prison house, the Durga Dham of material existence. When we come here to this jail, we're all obliged to wear uniforms. Just like when you go to a jail. Who was telling me today? Huh? Divyanga was telling me he was arrested for the crime of selling books, Prabhupada's books on this heinous crime. And they considered it such a heinous crime. Striped jails. I thought they were orange. Backwards down here in the south. He had a striped. No one's proud of that. As soon as you leave the jail, you have a jail sentence of what? 10, 20, 30. The first thing you want to do is get rid of that uniform and put on some normal. No one's proud of that uniform. So there's nothing. Body is just like the uniform you get when you come to the material world. It gets old and dies. So nothing wonderful about taking birth for Krishna consciousness. We celebrate the birthdays. When one's birthday, there's an announcement of the morning program. Today is such an Hari Bol. Oh, the whole business of Krishna death. In Vedic culture, when it was someone's birthday, they tried to hide gifts and charity. One would take a mood of variety, when little soberness that we've taken a birth. Of course, as Vaishnavas, we do want to acknowledge our honor them for their service, but it would make more sense to celebrate their spiritual birth, which is a birth into knowledge. Birth into this world from the garbha, from the womb of your mother, is a birth into ignorance. And the fact is that you have to learn everything. You have to learn to walk, to talk, to pass water, pass life. Then to go through 25 years of education and more. We have to learn we're born into ignorance. What to speak of our ignorance of spiritual subject matter? Atmatattva. So it's a birth into ignorance. But today, this is a birth into knowledge, divigan. So it might be nice, a suggestion, that we should honor devotees on their spiritual birthdays. How old are you? I'm 2 years old. I had my initiation 2 years ago. And this is glorious. There's one lecture tape of Srila Prabhupada. At an initiation ceremony, he's saying that deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. Because by this initiation ceremony, one has the chance, one has the opportunity for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge, if we take it seriously. So therefore, there's a Bengali proverb, Janame Janame Shabhe Pita Mata Paya Krishna Guru Nahi Mili Bhaji Hariye, that everyone gets mother and father, but if one gets the benedictions of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer the material energy and return back home, back to Godhead, for serving the Lord. So what is the process? Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is scientific. The process. Just like in material life, the father plants the seed in the womb of the wife or the mother at the time of conception. So in the same way, at the time of initiation, the spiritual master is planting the seed of bhakti into the heart of the disciple. Of course, that seed is there. Jivir Supoya Krishnera Nityadas. We are all eternal servants of the Lord. It may be covered, but the seed is there. It's dormant in the heart of every living entity. So you could say the spiritual master revives the dormant seed of Krishna consciousness through the watering process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. At the moment of initiation, one gets blessings to chant. Not just some formal ritualistic thing, it's a whole transcendental phenomena that takes place. Just like now it is springtime, so everyone's going to the stores and they're taking the seeds off the shelf. The seeds are sitting there for the whole winter, or maybe they've even been there for years. The owner of the store bought, you know, wholesale a lot of seeds and stored them, and then he's bringing them out in the springtime. None of them have germinated. But in the springtime, when the soil is ripe, he puts the seed, you buy the seed, you put it into the ground, and then you water it, and lo and behold, it begins to grow. It's miraculous, actually. How it's sitting on the shelf for so many years, and then somebody comes to the shop and buys it and puts it in the ground and puts water on it, and in a few weeks you have daffodils, you have tulips, you have whatever. It's the same phenomenon in Krishna consciousness. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lab Beach. Since we left the spiritual world, we've been transmigrating from Brahmanda to Brahmanda to Brahmanda, from one universe to the next, from one species of life to the next, from one body to the next, becoming more and more covered by different layers of ignorance and ignorance. And that seed of Krishna consciousness almost becomes invisible. You see in lower species of life. You see some creatures at the bottom of the ocean. They're scary. But they're spirit souls. They're your brothers and your sisters. They have their position in Vaikuntha, in Goloka. What to do? Guru Krishna Prasad, Bhai Bhakti Lad Beach. The mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the pure devotee like Śrīla Prabhupāda, they intervene into our destiny, even without being asked. In Vedic age, people would go to the ashram looking for a spiritual master. In Kali Yuga, no one is thinking like that. So the genuine spiritual master, the pure devotee, out of compassion, he comes looking for us to water that seed of devotion. One of Shivaram Raj's disciples, Gurangi Dasi, she was her Vyas Puja offering to her spiritual master. I was listening in the audience. She said, Guru Maharaj, it took you so long to find me. Please don't kick me away. I was thinking, you know, wait. No, I found, no, I didn't find. I wasn't looking. She had it correct. Guru Maharaj, it took you so long to find me. Don't kick me away. Mm-hmm. So, Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad. The pure devotees are on the prowl. They're looking here, there, and everywhere. And they don't discriminate, because they know the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram. It's so powerful that Prabhupada said even a dog can benefit from chanting Hare Krishna. Even a dog. Therefore, to come in contact with the Lord, as you may have done 500 years ago or 5,000 years ago, that is very rare, or to come in contact with the Lord's representative. That is also very rare. Chanaka Pandit says, there does not exist a ruby in every mountain, nor a pearl on the head of every elephant, nor sadhus in every country, nor sandalwood trees in every forest. Chanaka Pandit was so brilliant. Prabhupada said he wasn't a Vaishnava, but he was very intelligent person. Obviously, there's not a ruby in every mountain. There's not a pearl on the head of every elephant. If you find, you take, because pearls are produced from the heads of snakes, from the heads of elephants. During a certain astrological combination, when it rains, when the water hits the ocean, the drops turn into pearls and they fall to the bottom of the seabed. There's different ways you can get pearls. And that, the male elephant has, when he's certain type of season, when he's searching for the female elephant, there's a certain secretion that comes from the top of his head here. And through the years, that kind of becomes an acidic formation and it turns into a crusty thing. And then a very old elephant, you'll see a yellow pearl. And if you get that pearl, you're Korpati. You're the owner of millions and billions of dollars. You'll put to shame Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and people like that. I actually met a sadhu one time. I met him in a village in South India. He was just walking with a few disciples. Very poor looking, just a white beard. And he had his mala and his water pot and a few disciples. And I met him and we started talking. And, you can come back to my ashram. I will show you the pearl of the head of an elephant. Oh yeah, I want to see. So we turned the corner and we approached this huge palace. Like a palace. I said, you live here? He said, yes. Yeah, I live here. Since I got the pearl. And that palace had been given to him by one king from Manipur. It was all his. And there were servants and this and that. He just lived in a little dusty corner, chanting his mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate. But he showed me the pearl. He said, this is the source of all this opulence. He said, I'm only using it for Narayan. He was saying. I was almost ready to ask him for it, but I said, have you heard of the Polish tour? So very rare. And sandalwood trees, now you don't find them because they don't grow sandalwood. It's not so, you don't gain so much money. They're doing rubber trees, Prabhupada said, in Malaysia. Malaysia used to be famous for the sandalwood. And similarly, to find a genuine sadhu, even in one birth, that is very rare. So if you find sadhu sangha savashasukhoi, lava matra sadhu sangha savasiddhihoi. Here, what is your opulence here? You don't have the rubies. You don't have the sandalwood. You don't have the pearl of the head of the elephant or the pearl from the head of the cobra. But you have something much more valuable. You have each other. The association of the devotees is the most valuable thing that one can obtain in this lifetime. Just one devotee. That person's association is so rare. Here you have a community of, I don't know, several hundreds or thousands, I don't know. You're so fortunate. The process of chanting Hare Krishna is meant to be done in the association of devotees. A family that prays together stays together, and a family that dances together advances together. You have all that here. And once in a while you have to step back and appreciate your good fortune, because familiarity breeds contempt. And we're young, we're neophytes, so we're prone to make mistakes. So sometimes it's good to leave the community and go away and then come back and appreciate your good fortune in the association. So what is the good fortune of coming in contact with our spiritual father? That he can plant the seed of devotion in our hearts and give us the process of awakening. And we should hanker for that. Prabhupada said, every intelligent man and woman should search out a bona fide spiritual master. He said that in Detroit. Every intelligent person should have a spiritual master. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, he teaches us in his Padyavali, He's praying to the Lord. Hey, Lord, I am drowning in the painful, fathomless whirlpool of repeated birth and death. O Lord, O friend of those who have no shelter, O effulgent moon of mercy, please, just this one time, extend your hand to save me. That's one of my favorite verses. Please, just this one time, won't you extend your hand to save me? So what does that mean, that the long arm of the law, that the Lord extends his hand? And no. What is that extension of the Lord's mercy? That extension of the Lord's mercy is his devotees. And amongst those devotees, you choose one as your spiritual master who takes responsibility to deliver you back to the spiritual world. Just as the light of dawn precedes the rising of the sun globe, so the mercy of the devotee precedes the mercy of the Lord. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So this is the authorized path. Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, one should not search for God, one should search for the person who can take you to God. Just like if you're in the desert and you're dying of thirst, you don't know where is water. But if you find someone who knows where is water, you're as good as there. So our search should not be for God at this stage. Our search should be for the one who can take our hand and direct us back to the spiritual world. One time Prabhupada said, when you get back to the spiritual world, we're advancing the video here, when you get back to the spiritual world, your spiritual master is there to greet you. And he takes you by the hand, and he leads you into the kunja, into the forest, and he puts your hand into the hand of Sri Krishna, and he leaves you alone together. Prabhupada said that. So, we can only give up something if we get something better. And whatever there is in this material world, it doesn't compare with one iota of Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't hesitate to surrender everything for one drop of Krishna's mercy. This is a painful existence that we're living in. And a person who's satisfied to live in a painful condition is a fool. Pain is an indication that something's wrong. There's a disease, some medical disease, where the nerve endings are destroyed, so people don't feel pain. There's a disease like that. You can think, oh, I'd like to have that. But you can imagine. You cut yourself, you don't notice it. You bleed to death. Or you back up against the stove and you burn your backside, you don't feel it. Pain, as unpleasant as it is actually good in the sense that it warns you that something's wrong, and take care of it before it gets too late. Like if you have a pain in your tooth, we all have that experience. You get a pain, think, oh, okay, you chew a clove. When I first joined the temple, they didn't have any money, so we get bad teeth, and temple presidents say, we don't have money to take you to the temple. Prabhupada said you just chew on cloves. I mean, that's good for a very initial, but the pain means that something wrong. If you don't go, you're going to get a really impacted tooth. You get some pain inside and you go and they operate. Lucky you came in, son. If that had gotten bigger, you would have died. So pain is a way of showing that there's something wrong. And therefore it's stated in Vedic scriptures that a brahmana who's in the mode of goodness and is the most sensitive, his senses are so refined, he cannot tolerate pain. He can't tolerate a situation. Actually, there's two things a Brahmin can't tolerate. He can't tolerate a painful situation, and he can't tolerate where there's no water. What? Yes. Because Brahmanas are very clean. Suchinam, they're always cleaning. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, have you heard the phrase that cleanliness is next to godliness? I said, no. Cleanliness is godliness. And you remember Pishima, the God brothers and God sisters, Pishima, Prabhupada's sister. She always had a little plastic bottle of Ganges water. And the first time I saw her, I was like, wow, that looks like Prabhupada. It was uncanny. She was a female version of Prabhupada. She was a big woman, but you know, but her face, the facial features, I was, oh my gosh. And she loved Prabhupada so much. And Prabhupada kind of tolerated her, you know, the sister, you know. She was a very advanced devotee. She was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But she just loved her brother. Always wanted to cook for Prabhupada and serve him. And, you know, Prabhupada had his movement to push for her. She was coming. So she would come in, and she would... And she'd take the ganges when she squirted it on the ground. I thought, what's going on here? She'd wipe it, then she'd sit down. She wanted to sit in a clean place. And then after the darshan or whatever was happening, she would stand up and she would put more water down and she would clean and she would leave. Prabhupada said, cleanliness means that you go to some place and you leave it cleaner than when you went there, than when you found it. When you're a guest in someone's house, you should leave it cleaner than when you came there. So cleanliness, you can't think of Krishna in an unclean environment. You have to be in the mode of goodness. It's the mode of goodness is described as illuminating. A place for everything, everything in its place. So this, then, all right, now I can chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So a Brahmin won't go to a place where there's no water. That's why it's said in the Manusamhita that killers of Brahmins take birth in desert regions where there's no water. They can't keep clean. It's a type of punishment. And a Brahmin can't tolerate a painful condition. If one devotee said, I had an operation behind my ear, and I was cringing, and he said, you're such a sissy, Maharaj. And I said, no, Brahmins can't tolerate pain. One time Karna, who of course was born as a very illustrious Kshatriya, he wanted to learn the martial arts, so he wanted to go to the best of all teachers, Parasurama, an incarnation of the Lord, who was the best of all Kshatriyas. And he was just mowing down the Kshatriya generations because they were acting in an improper way. But he was the best of the teachers of martial arts, and he would accept students, but he wouldn't accept any Kshatriyas. So Karna went to him disguised as a Brahmana to learn martial arts, because sometimes in Vedic culture the Brahmana, although he has his profession as a preacher and so forth, when there's a necessity he may sometimes take other services when there's an emergency. So Karna, disguised as a Brahmana, went to Parashurama and asked to be taught the martial arts. So he was teaching, and Karna became so powerful, he almost defeated Arjuna. But when he was in the ashram studying, one day, after you know a lot of physical activity, then Parashurama said, let us take a little break. So Karna sat down. He said, oh, Guru Maharaj, you put your head on my lap here. So Parasuram put his head in the lap of Karna. And while they were sleeping, this very dangerous insect came. And he landed on the knee of Karna. And he began eating his way through the flesh of his thigh, deeper and deeper and deeper. And he bored all the way through. It took 45 minutes. Can you imagine? You're sitting there. An insect is eating in your... But he could tolerate, because he was Kshatriya. He wasn't Brahmana. He was Kshatriya. So, for Guru Maharaj, Kshatriyas, they like a good fight. They get the scars. This is their decoration. A Brahmin's decoration is his sattvic qualities. A Sudra's decoration is the calluses on his hands. A Vaishya's decoration is the cow dung all over his body. And a Kshatriya's decoration is the scars. He's not like, doesn't go get the, you know, medical operation to clear them up. I got that one there, I got that one. They can tolerate the pain. They like to go to battle. They like to fight for Dharma, to protect religious principles. So when Parasurama woke up, he saw this pool of blood on the ground. He became very angry. You rascal, Karna! No, Guru Maharaj, why am I rascal? I tolerated this. He said, a Brahmin would not be able to... A Kshatriya, only a Kshatriya could tolerate that pain. not a Brahmin. You're posing as a Brahmin. You're not a Brahmin. You're a Kshatriya. Off with your head. Took his chopper, and Karna had to run very far because he could tolerate the pain. Parasam realized he was a Kshatriya. He wasn't a Brahmin like he was posing. So Brahmin cannot tolerate pain. He cannot tolerate the painful condition of material existence in general. Therefore, he tries to find an alternative. By dint of his spiritual activities, he transcends the pain altogether. Punarjanma nividyate, Krishna says. One who attains to my abode, he never comes back again to this miserable material existence. One devotee asks Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when we get back to the spiritual world, do we remember what it was like in the material world? What it was like in Alachua? Prabhupada thought for a moment, he said, yes, you remember, but you remember it like a bad dream. Like you wake up at night, you have a nightmare, and then you wake up and with your inclinations, you don't want to go back to sleep because you might have a continuation of things. So you stay up all night and you chant Hare Krishna. So painful existence. Therefore a Brahmin, not being able to tolerate the painful condition of material life, he's always preaching Krishna consciousness because he knows that by preaching, people will be delivered from this material existence. So we have to find a person who can take us out of this painful condition. We have to be convinced, first of all, it is a painful condition. That's the thing. People don't think they're suffering. When we went to visit the father of a devotee in the hospital, he was a very materialistic person. He broke his leg. And he had, you know, in four places in a car accident. His leg was up like this. He was in traction. And we walked in, and it was in France, and my friend said, Ça va, Papa? That means, is everything okay? And Papa went, Ça va bien, mon cher. And I was thinking, what do you mean everything's okay? You got legs in traction, it gets broken in four places, you got tubes all in your body. Ça va bien, mon petit fils. So we're like that. We're adding insult to injury. We fall into the material world, we're thinking, Ça va bien. C'est bien, voilà, c'est bien. Achoo! Ça va bien! So the first step in enlightenment is to realize our fallen condition. That's the first thing. So therefore, again, half of Prabhupada's lectures are lambasting the materialistic way of life. As Jesus said, you can't serve mammon and God simultaneously. You can't have one foot here and one foot there. You have to be convinced and let go, and only then can you ascend to the spiritual world. So we have to follow guru out of material existence, or we'll follow somebody else into material existence. Guru means cow. Guru means one who enlightens us and takes... Guru means cow. One time the devotees are chanting, Bandego Rao Shri Charan. Prabhupada said, what are you singing? Bandego Rao Shri... Prabhupada said, you're offering prayers to a cow. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati told a story one time. He said there was a man who'd lost his way, and he was asking some cowboy who was herding the cows how to get back to his village. So the cowherdsman said, well, this cow here is from your village. So I know how to get you back to your village. You just hold on to the tail of this cow really tight. Get on, hold on, get a good grip there, and don't let go for nothing. Okay, then that cowherd boy, he took a stick and he whacked the cow on the backside. Whoop, boom! Over hill, over dale, the dusty town. That cow is going up the ravine and down here and through the thorn bushes and down the rocks, and that man didn't let go. And finally, got home, but he was bruised and broken. And so Bhaktisananda Saraswati said, if we don't follow guru out of material existence, we have to follow some foolish, dumb, animalistic person into material existence. So how do we follow? Is it just by getting initiated that we're guaranteed of going back to the spiritual world? No. Sometimes we have that naive thing that I've accepted a spiritual master, so ça va bien. But no, just like You accept a science teacher doesn't mean that you become learned in science. You have to study, to do your homework, to put that knowledge in, you have to apply that knowledge. It's the same with we have the spiritual master. What is our relationship with them? Tadviri paripatina, paripashana sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam ganinas tatvadarshana. Paripashana sevaya is the essence of the relationship. It's like the umbilical cord. There's the mother and the baby. What's the connection? The umbilical cord. So we have a spiritual master. What's our connection? To just look at him on the Vyasa sign? Wow. No. There's an umbilical cord. And that's his instructions. Paripashana sevaya. You have to be inquiring and inquiring and inquiring. And sevaya, you have to act on the knowledge of the spiritual master. He gives you the tools to extradite yourself from the jungle of material existence. You have to cut through with a machete. Cut, chop, divyesha, gunamayi, mamamaya. Krishna says it's very difficult to transcend this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes. You have to work at it. We have to take the instructions of the spiritual master. We have to work with them. There's so many instructions. In the beginning of the movement, the devotees were not ready. One time a devotee said, are there any more instructions? Prabhupada said, if I revealed everything, all the instructions, you'd faint. In the beginning, it was just kirtan and eating. You come in, lots of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and stuff to the mouth. Next day, kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Eating was the main process in the beginning. And therefore, Brahmananda told me that Prabhupada would place a big barrel of gulab jamuns at the door, which was the entry and the exit to 26 Second Avenue. He'd always have a big barrel of floating gulab jamuns, which he would make himself. Brahmananda was always wondering why Prabhupada put a barrel of gulab jamuns at the door. But one day he fell into Maya. He had the strong desire, enough, I've had enough, I'm just going to go and be free again to enjoy. So Brahmananda said he got up about 2 o'clock in the morning and he put on his pants and his shirt and his boots to get back out there. And he was walking down and there wasn't any light. But as he was walking to the door, he could smell the gulabs. It's a true story. So he just hesitated. One for the road. And he... okay, and it took two. What is that advertisement for those potato chips? Bet you can't eat one. Three. I think he said he had 21. And it wasn't that he was full. He was purified, so he went back up and went to sleep. But one day, Umapati Maharaj, but at that time Umapati Prabhu Das, went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, are there any, rules that we should follow? Prabhupada said, I thought you'd never ask. That's what he said. So that, Prabhupada wrote that paper, all initiates, devotees living in the temple, that famous has been photocopied 10 billion times, it's in all the ashrams, the Brahmachari ashrams, the rules and regulations to follow, and the four rules, etc. like that. But, actually, the most important rule is to chant Hare Krishna. There's a famous purport where Prabhupada says that of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the most important instruction is to chant 16 rounds. And sometimes people inquire, is that all that's necessary? But Prabhupada has said in the conversations especially, if you just chant and you follow these four rules, then it's guaranteed. In due course of time, you will become purified of all anarthas, and that bhakti lad bij will be awoken and you'll make it back to the spiritual world. 16 is the minimum and we can't go lower than that. It's a concession. Just like when you're taking antibiotics. I had to take a course of antibiotics some time ago and I kind of cheated. It was a 9-day course and they were heavy antibiotics. They make me So I got to the 5th day and the infection was gone. I just threw the bottle away. But the doctor says 9 days. So I threw it away, and then on the 6th day, the 7th started coming back. By the 9th day, it was all the way back again. So it's like that. It's very scientific. The prescription has been analyzed by our acharyas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would set the example. In the Chaitanya Chandamrita by Prabodhananda Saraswati, there's a very beautiful verse which describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would chant the holy names of Krishna and keep count by a knotted string around his waist. I was so happy when I read that. I said, wow, look, it just proves that it's right. Mahaprabhu set the example. He didn't have, you know, counter beads like we have pearl counter beads and this thing. He had a knotted string, a rope around his waist, and he would chant, he would keep count of the number of times he would chant the holy name by that knotted rope on his waist. From any state of existence, one can become a pure devotee of the Lord by chanting. Even a dog eater is described. When Prabhupada first came back to India, he was challenged by one of his godbrothers. You're giving this holy name to sinful people, Western. These boys and girls, these hippies, they're addicted to sinful activity. Lifetimes of karmic reactions in their heart. As you cannot use a wine-stained pot in a yajna, you cannot engage these hippies in devotional service. Prabhupada became very angry, like a lion. He said, what is more powerful, a lifetime of sinful activities or one holy name of Krishna? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasanika. And his godbrother was a Gaudiya Vaishnav, so he had to, what could he say? Oh, more powerful is a lifetime of karmic activity? No, he had to agree. But Prabhupada was successful because in going to the West, he had full faith in the instructions of his spiritual master, and he had full faith in the holy names. So in his association, we were inspired ourselves to take up the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. The greatest benediction, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, all the infection of the heart, all the material desire washed away, and the material desires are uprooted and thrown to the 10th dimension, some way out there in outer space. And then prema. Previously people had to just spend their entire lives just to cleanse the heart of karma through pious activity. But in this one lifetime, we can achieve the highest goal by chanting Hare Krishna. It's stated in the Bhagavatam that whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in the Treta Yuga by performing sacrifice, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be achieved in 100 years in the Kali Yuga by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So we have to broadcast this message. It's a special sale going on. It's like something costs a lot, but after the Christmas season, it's put on sale. Some people actually hold back making their purchases. A lot of people hold back making their purchases during the Christmas season. They tell their children, yeah, I'll buy it for you after Christmas, okay? Because mommy is not, no, you're not gonna pay it. Because it's 50% off or we're going out of business, so it's, so it's the same thing now, but this is like a permanent sale. Well, not permanent, because Prabhupada did say that this Lord Chaitanya movement will last for 10,000 years. It's the golden age of Kali Yuga. And the sale is that you can obtain these three benedictions just by giving a little prana, a little air. We waste our air speaking so much nonsense. So much prajalpa. You know, we speak so many things. But just use that breath. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. There's a sale, spiritual life's on sale, but you don't even have to pay anything. You just come and grab it. Just get it. And your heart will become purified, and love of God will manifest, and you'll become blissful. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami concludes, he describes the process so nicely, and we'll finish with this verse in his Padmavali. Dear Lord, now that we have become your devotees, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival within our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, due to this chanting, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sisi Radha Shamsundar Ki, Nu Raman Reti Dhamma Ki, Vaishnav Sangha Ki, Back Home Back to Godhead Ki, Oh, Brahminandi!
Is this the Bhagavatam? Because I've got the names in there.